Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me. It was an absolutely beautiful day today. Hope you guys got to spend some time outside, because channeling my inner Game of Thrones here, winter is coming, and it's coming soon, and it was like 74 and sunny and beautiful today. Little man and I went and played golf, this afternoon. We decorated a Christmas tree, and we played golf. It was one heck of a day. Hope you guys had something fun to do today, and the Saints didn't play, so like really just a truly great day all around, but hope you guys had a good and fun Sunday, and now happy Thanksgiving week and Egg Bowl week and all that good stuff. We'll talk about that later on. But tonight we need to focus on not necessarily the Florida game, like the minutia of what happened in the game, but more so the big picture, the fallout, essentially, from that game and what needs to happen moving forward, and what has happened with Ole Miss football this season, and why have they failed. So we'll do that. We'll read your comments and more. Not the most fun topic tonight, but if you guys are here, I'm glad that you are, and I always appreciate the engagement. Don't forget, if you have not already, to subscribe to the podcast. If you are listening, whether it be on YouTube or just on the browser at supertalk.fm, or you're listening on your podcast app but haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Just hit the subscribe button. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Fulton, Mississippi. No longer in Saltillo, but still the same great service anywhere in this state. Small business, personal injury, or contract disputes. So if you're a small business owner and you need legal advice, or you're just a small business owner, 662-397-9799. That's the phone number. You need to save it, because one day that day may come where you're going to need some legal advice. That's the person you need to go to. Also, personal injury. If you've been personally injured, do not delay another second. Call DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So, I've obviously spent the day thinking about what we're going to talk about here, and then what we're going to talk about on the radio show tomorrow, and like what angle I need to take, and all that stuff. I don't know if you guys are like this, but with me, I spend a lot of time like thinking about my next quote unquote move. Like, even though it was mostly just like me and my son messing around on the golf course today, like I even spent some time thinking about like, sorry about that. But I spent a lot of time thinking ahead of everything, every move I make. So I spent a lot of time today thinking about how to start this conversation tonight. And it's mostly, it's like it snowballs, right? It starts with, okay, why did they lose to Florida, right? Why did that happen? And quite frankly, you can copy and paste the conversation we had after the Kentucky game, and you can copy and paste the conversation we had after the LSU game. It was eerily similar. And it was the one thing that we talked about that they could not do. The only way Florida was going to beat Ole Miss was for Ole Miss to do exactly what they did. Missed field goal, bad muffed punt, turnover on downs, half a hundred dropped passes. I think the official number is 8, but at least 2 touchdown passes dropped in there, bad interceptions late in the game, those questionable decision-making from coaching. I know that's something that we can debate maybe later, but it was a carbon copy of the Kentucky and the LSU game. They did not execute well enough to win. They did everything in their power to keep Florida in the game, and Florida took advantage and won that game. And So that's one half, right? Is they did the same things that they've done that's plagued them throughout the season in these losses, where they've been favorites in all three of their losses, or at least heavy favorites in two of them. So it started there. The inconsistency from Ole Miss, specifically offensively, reared its ugly head again. But then the next layer to it is, why are they so bad in the second half? I mean, in three losses, they have, one touchdown and four field goals in the second half. So in six quarters of play in their losses, it's one touchdown and four field goals in regulation. And that's just simply not good enough. And that brings me to the big picture, larger point that I want to get to tonight with you guys, and then I'll do it on the radio show tomorrow. This is a multi-year problem for Ole Miss. What would the program be without Pete Golding today? What would we be talking about without Pete Golding today? What would we have been talking about through the offseason without Pete Golding today? Now, don't get me wrong. Lane Kiffin has done very good things for Ole Miss. They're winning a lot of games. He has most certainly elevated the program, and he's the one that hired Pete Golding. But defense has been the thing that has saved this team more often than not over the last 2 years. The consistency that you expect from a Kiffin-coached offense, that the national narrative about Ole Miss and offense, it's Lane Kiffin's going to have a good offense. And this year, the numbers say that they have one, right? I mean, you lead the SEC in passing, all of those things. They're tops in all of the offensive categories. But what I just said a second ago, and you guys have seen it too, when it matters in close games, they have disappeared offensively, specifically in the second half. And even in their South Carolina win, they were awful in the second half in that game as well. Defense saved them. At least defense kept them in every single game this year. Pete Golding and that defense should have this team undefeated. They even had a bad day yesterday. Like, that wasn't a good day for the Ole Miss defense. They gave up fewer than 200 yards passing and less than 4 yards per carry on the ground. And what was it? Three touchdowns in 14 Florida possessions and a field goal in which Florida had negative 4 yards for the drive. Like, even on a bad day, they still played easily good enough defense to win the game. And you have gotten consistent defensive performances from Ole Miss every single week. Defense is not what lost to Kentucky. It's not what lost to LSU. It's not what lost yesterday. They dominated defensively in their win over Georgia. They dominated defensively in their win over South Carolina. But you can date that back to a year ago. Defense won the Egg Bowl. Defense beat Arkansas. Defense beat Tulane. Defense only gave up 14 points until garbage time with like 3 minutes left in the Auburn game. You have gotten consistently good defensive performances for 2 years, with the rare exception. Georgia last year was obviously a crap show. Even the Alabama game a year ago, they played good enough defense to win that day. The offense just didn't show up in that one. The LSU game, obviously, they got lit up by Daniels had the greatest individual season in SEC football history. You can argue that for sure. But you have gotten consistently good defensive performances for 2 years, but especially this season. Every single week, you got good enough defense to win the football game. And it's not like they don't have a side of the ball that is filled with transfers. It's not like they are any different, really, than the offense, right? They have brought in guys that were rumored to be trouble at previous stops and have gotten them to buy in and play well. They're consistently very good defensively. What would they be without Pete Golding and that staff on defense? All of the issues for Ole Miss this season come from the other side of the ball. It's inconsistency on offense. You've seen what their ceiling is, and their ceiling is really, really high, but they are inconsistent. They make mistakes at times. The running back situation is a total joke, and Kiffin's answer on that tonight about how Bentley's not consistent enough to play, so your veteran back that's been in your system that is produced for you is not consistent enough, but suddenly your seventh best wide receiver is to get the snaps at running back for you in a win or else game, that makes no sense. And then Rashad Amos, who I guess didn't make the trip this week, but you're telling me that you're a veteran in Bentley and a guy like Amos that ran for over 1,000 yards at the FBS level last year were so either poorly developed on Bentley's case or so poorly evaluated in Amos's case that you are playing walk-ons and converted tiny wide receivers in a bye week over them. Like, there is absolutely no angle that you can take for the running back room to be handled the way it was this year, with running Parrish into the ground, completely misutilizing him, to not playing Bentley at all, him being your only explosive back. He showed it. And the thing is, if he never showed it, then it would be worth a discussion. But what he did against LSU, only he can do on this team. Even what he did against Georgia, a red zone touchdown. Imagine that. Ole Miss struggled in the red zone. Bentley gave you that last week and then caught the ball out of the backfield on big plays in a big win and yet can't touch the field a week later because of consistency. So regardless of what the possibility, like what, regardless of what it is, there is no angle that you can take that is not a direct indictment on failure of coaching, whether it was pathetic misevaluation, not being able to manage personalities, not developing, whatever it is. But what's most insulting is the way that the answer that you got tonight is insulting your intelligence, is what it is. It is a direct insult to your intelligence, talking about how, well, Bentley doesn't get a single snap because he's not consistent enough, but you're willing to convert a wide receiver who's tiny to play running back and get all the meaningful snaps in a win or else game. It makes no sense whatsoever. So you've got that this season. You've got inconsistency. You've got second half offense being especially atrocious. And again, that's a multi-year problem. And then on top of it all, that side of the ball is where all the drama exists, right? All of the extra stuff, all of the crap that you've heard over the years, whether it be with Judkins last year being a problem, that was the offense, right? When this year with the running back room being what it is, I mean, even going back to the Sanders Dart saga, which was just always unnecessary and a little silly. I mean, down to just having a carousel of offensive line coaches and just churning them in and out, and the all of the stuff, all of the drama, all of the unnecessary attention that happens in this program is on that side of the ball. The other side, Pete Golding and his staff and those players show up and give you consistent performances every single week. Offensively, some days you get brilliance. Others you get second halves where you can't score against bad teams. You have unnecessary drama. You have inexplicable situations with your running back room. And that is what Lane Kiffin is supposed to be great at. His side, that is his side of the ball. That is his thing. He's the offensive guy. And so the question on the lead tonight is, what's next for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss football? There needs to be some serious reflection about how they are approaching things on that side of the ball. Because, again, if they win the Egg Bowl, that'll be 20 wins in 2 years, 28 wins in 3 years, 38 wins in 4 years. That's a very good run at Ole Miss. But Lane Kiffin himself talks about going from good to great, elevating a program. And what is missing in Ole Miss football right now is consistent, stable offense. All they needed to do was go 1-2 against Kentucky at home, LSU in Florida. They had to win one of those three games. And all it would take was an average day offensively, and they could not get it done. So I understand what the numbers are. I know that Dart's going to leave Ole Miss's all-time leading passer, and he's going to get his flowers for that, and he deserves them. But when it has mattered the most, that is what has failed Lane Kiffin's program. The running back room and everything around that has been a disaster. It's been an embarrassment, and they're insulting your intelligence with the explanations. Second half offense has been awful. There needs to be some serious reflection and change on that side of the ball if they're going to elevate from what they are currently, which is good. They are certainly good. They have a very high ceiling. You saw that ceiling this year just a few weeks ago when they beat Georgia up and down the field. I mean, you saw it in Columbia, really. The two best teams that they played this season, they beat up and down the field. But there is a consistency issue with their offense. It disappears far too often. And that is supposed to be Lane Kiffin's thing. And if they just run it back and make no visual changes, how can any fan have inspired confidence that it will be any different than it has been? And it has been good, but people aren't. When you talk about championships, when you talk about the things that you do, and that's starting at the top of that program, what you have been is not good enough relative to what they have given you. Your salary is massive. Your staff is massive. The financial investment in that staff is massive. Recruiting, NIL, the investment was there, and you failed. But more specifically, your offense failed. There needs to be like a looking in the mirror and some reflection and some change, because that is what has cost them the opportunity to play in the playoffs this year. This is absolutely a roster that was good enough to do it. It should be a roster that's there, and it's not. Likely not. Now, I know that there's a path if there's chaos this weekend, but we're not going to talk about that right now. They lost three games that they should not have lost, that they played good enough defense to win. There needs to be some level of change if they want to take that next step forward. If they don't make any change, they're clearly content with being good, but not great. What you guys shouldn't stand for anymore, though, is the is two things, though, and then I'll do some reads, and then we'll get to your comments. The trolling, I wouldn't stand for that anymore. It's not cute. It wasn't. We talked about it during the season, but trolling your own fans about a job that, by the way, wouldn't want you anymore. I say that's got to stop. It never will. But that lack of maturity kind of makes you wonder about everything I just talked about. They're inconsistent. They're up and down. They're stupid. They play stupid offensive football at times. And also any fan bashing. I mean, I already kind of went after that earlier this season because I think it's absolutely the wrong way to go about it. But you guys shouldn't stand for that anymore either. If he's going to complain about you guys not showing up in the second half of the Furman game, then his offenses need to show up in the second half of the Florida game with the playoff on the line. So we will get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you just tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, here we go. Really like the tone and message you led with yesterday. Don't want to hear any spin. The season is a failure, and it lies on the offense and the complete failure of this coaching staff. I agree. Had to take several walks. You don't think you'll get over yesterday's loss. In some ways that's even worse than Kentucky. But it's really hard to look back, and that is a very, very bad Kentucky team. And you're their one win this season at home. That game and that performance is as bad of a loss as you have in the history of Ole Miss football. It's that bad. It's Groundhog Day with the offense. Really has looked very 2014-15 freeze-esque with no run game and horrible short yardage situations. Man, there are some parallels to be drawn. You're tired of the lies that Kiffin keeps telling about Bentley. Yeah, the situation, it's so absurd. It is so absurd when you have a veteran back. And the thing is, like I said before, it would be different if he had not shown you that he still has that ability, that home run ability, and he's still returning kicks for you. Like you're still playing him in what is an explosive role. And you spent the first half of the season trying to tell people that Henry Parrish getting snaps was fine. Him getting beaten down the way that they used him was not fine. They treated him like he was 215 pounds, not 175 pounds. So they were mismanaging that to begin with. But they tried to sell to you that a walk-on was better than not only Bentley, but Rashad Amos as well. You got to loop that in there as well, because there's another guy that they evaluated out of the portal and they paid, who was a 1,000-yard rusher at the FBS level last year, and he did not take a single meaningful snap this season. So they started with that, and then Parrish gets hurt, and he's banged up, and Jones gets hurt, so you have to play Bentley against LSU, and he shows you exactly what he's still capable of, and that was not enough to continue to play him. And then he just goes right back on the bench and doesn't play. You lose to Kentucky when he doesn't play, and you're playing a walk-on instead. And he shows up in Baton Rouge, but still doesn't get the bulk of the carries, even when he looked like that night. And after that, you still refuse to play him. You refuse to play him, and you beat Georgia thanks to contributions from him in the passing game in a red zone touchdown where they struggled in the red zone. And then you refuse to play him in a game that you have to win if you want to make the playoff. It's a win or else. And instead of playing him, you have chosen to convert a small wide receiver to play running back who did it like 3 years ago at Utah State for a handful of carries, right? Not much. And then you stand, I guess it was a Zoom call or whatever, and then you say to people, Bentley's not consistent enough. That's why he doesn't get a single snap. But you're playing walk-ons and converted tiny wide receivers that you don't use during the season until the bye week, and then it's like, oh, he's going to play running back now over him. And then, again, Rashad Amos, how much money is he getting this year to not take a meaningful snap? So I have no idea what's going on in the Bentley situation. I don't buy the consistency thing at all, because if he's not consistent enough, what the hell is a converted wide receiver? And not a particularly good one either. If he's not consistent enough, then what is a walk-on that lacks explosion and doesn't really belong at this level? It makes no angle make sense. The Amos thing is, I guess, a massive misevaluation. But I would love to know the financial compensation or the financial hole that was Ulysses Bentley and Rashad Amos this season. I would love to know how much of your money, because that's what it is. I would love to know how much of your money that they spent to not use those guys and instead tell you that their best options instead of those guys are walk-ons or a wide receiver, a converted wide receiver during the bye week. I would love to know how much of your money that they wasted on that. It's insanity. And that situation is a microcosm of the problems that they have offensively. They are inconsistent. At times they are stupid. At times they are brilliant. And at times they are stupid. There is no rational explanation. Consistency. Give me a break. He's not consistent enough to get a single snap, but a wide receiver convert is. It makes no sense at all. But that is that side of the ball. There's been head-scratching stuff, drama, nonsense. That's what it's been. Sadly, you think we may have seen Trey Harris's last snaps in an Ole Miss uniform? Yes, I tend to agree there. You like Jackson Dart a lot and should be appreciated by Ole Miss fans. I do agree with that. Sadly, one of the images that will stick in your mind is of the season is the interceptions both yesterday and against LSU. I mean, again, the parallels are nuts, aren't they? I mean, against LSU, early dropped pass. Against Florida, they dropped passes just all day long. Missed field goal. you had the muffed punt, the Parrish fumble before the half. The interception into triple coverage. I mean, the parallels are crazy. Season is a bust, but the program isn't. Unless they give up on NIL after 45 years of being an Ole Miss fan, you'd much rather be upset with a 3-loss season than happy with 7. Yes, I mean, but now that's what this is, a very interesting offseason. They have another game to play. That's what's funny about this, is they have another game to play. But this is going to be a fascinating offseason for Lane Kiffin. He's got to get a lot of things right, and I think there needs to be some changes offensively. They need to make changes. You cannot run it back like this. That has been your problem. You're not consistent enough. The current situation that you have on that side of the ball is good enough to win 9 games. That's not what the investment into you says that you should have had this season. You cannot just run it back like this. But yeah, that's what makes this conversation difficult, right? Because this season is a failure. There's no other spin. I'm not going to entertain the, well, 9 games is a good team. I'm not doing it. The investment into this team is unlike anything that Ole Miss football has ever gotten. Comparing this season to any others from the past is just spinning to make yourself feel better. That's all that would be. If they don't make the playoff, and I know there's like this offshoot possibility, but when they don't make the playoff, if they don't, the season's officially a failure. But that doesn't mean, that's a good way to put it, that doesn't mean the program is a failure. There are still good pieces coming back. They will still portal well. Pete's getting his dudes, right? He's proven that. So there's a guy in the comments of yesterday's video talking about how the program is just going to crater. It's not going to crater, but this is Kiffin needs to start pulling some different strings this offseason if he wants to elevate the program that he is now stuck at, even if he doesn't want to be, which I think that mindset has changed. But he's stuck at Ole Miss, and I think he needs to, like I said, pull some different strings. Will they ever get that much talent on a team again, loaded at every position? It is not the roster talent that's keeping them out of the playoffs, that's for sure. Being in the swamp for an 11 a.m. game, it was electric. It sounded good. It sounded really good. Nervous about recruiting in the portal for next season. Hope they can convince players to come here. They still will be able to. I mean, I would be surprised if they lock in another number one class. I don't know if they'll have the financial backing in the same way they did a year ago, but that's totally up to you guys. I can't imagine they won't do well there. I mean, the recruiting class is shaping up to be nice, for sure. You're happy for Billy Napier. Seems like a good guy who got a lot of crap the last 3 years. He was dealt an awful hand when he took that job. Like I say to you guys all the time, he walked in to the Florida job with a collective that could not afford to pay one player what they offered him. And now they're getting sued for it. Really don't understand how Kiffin manages to call this bad of a game. How does a team play this bad? And I'm glad you worded it that way, because that you are, I think what's happening is people are, and we talk about this all, I say this all the time, people are very quick to blame Charlie Weiss Jr. for offensive struggles. He's the offensive coordinator. I understand that. People are blaming Kevin Smith for the running back situation. He's a running backs coach. I understand that too. Lane Kiffin is the $10 million head coach of the program. He is the $10 million offensive-minded head coach of the program. When it comes to scheme and play calling, he's got a play sheet and a headset. Every call runs through his headset. If he doesn't like it, it's up to him to change it. And he tonight endorsed the decision to not play Ulysses Bentley. He endorsed it. So even if it's not his decision, he told everybody that he agrees with it. He's not consistent enough or whatever. He insulted your intelligence, but he endorsed it. So blaming Kevin Smith for the running back situation or blaming Charlie Weiss Jr. for the offense is deflecting blame atop the person who is tasked to run it all. What are these fourth down play calls? You're so confused why they failed. Where is Bentley? You have no words. I mean, the first one, having a quarterback as your lead blocker, is just that there's no way that you can convince me that that's a good idea ever. The other one that got stopped where Pegues went sideways, if he just goes straight up the middle, it's a first down. I mean, I don't know why he's trying to bounce that, because goes a gap and he gets a first down easily. That's just a mistake there. Offense is easily the worst it's been under Kiffin, and you already hit a lot of it, especially the Bentley thing. That's arguably the biggest takeaway for this season. Yeah. How do I think next season goes? Will they still be an attractive program to go to? Yes, they will. Maybe not the exact same level, but they have a reputation of paying what is promised, right? I mean, that is an important thing. And, I mean, especially defensively, I mean, look at what Pete Golding's done. The guys, big-time prospects, don't get me wrong, but they went to Ole Miss and they elevated their game. Offense did not look like this under Jeff Lebby. It's bland, uncreative, and predictable. I think the program itself will be okay, but in short term, it's obviously not good. Lane isn't going anywhere. Of course not. Heard Crane and company talk about Kiffin this morning. They don't think he's an elite coach. I disagree, but for this season, he's been different. Elite's a big word. Do elite coaches with this roster lose the three games that they did? He's very good. He's done very, very good things at Ole Miss. Elite, though? How many coaches in college football would have taken this roster and won 9 games with it? Probably a lot. This team was not maximized. And again, Kiffin's good. He's done really good things at Ole Miss. He's done very, very good things at Ole Miss. I think he's a very good football coach. Something is amiss. Something is wrong. Something is off. Their consistency issues are one-sided. It's one side of the ball, and it's his side of the ball. But, again, the talent was not the issue here. How many coaches in college football would have gone 9-3 if they win the Egg Bowl with this roster? A lot. They were not maximized at all. Part of the reason they don't score in the red zone is because this offense is designed to score before getting into the red zone through explosive plays. Well, they need to design it differently. That's what they get paid millions of dollars to do. Obviously, Bentley would not have helped yesterday, but what's the real story with him? Did he hurt Juice the dog? Yeah, all this. I don't know. I truly don't know. There is no... There's no rational explanation for it. It is mismanagement. Regardless, again, the running back room was mismanaged and your money was mismanaged. It's your money that was mismanaged in the running back room. That's what's at stake here now. That's what you can't run from in this new era. That's where the answer tonight is just so wrong, because in this era, you cannot stand behind a podium or whatever and give answers like that to the people that paid for the players that you said they needed to pay for. When Judkins left, it was, you have to lock down Bentley. You have to. When Amos signed, it was, man, another running back. Well, hey, go get him. Pay for it, whatever it takes. And they didn't use him. They used walk-ons and a converted wide receiver instead. So it's a different dynamic. And just dismissing it as consistency is not good enough, because you are now going to have to ask those same people to buy your next roster. And treating them like they're idiots is not the way to do it. Agreed with both fourth down decisions. Just run straight. Running straight gets them. Juice Wells did not live up to the hype, and if you're being honest, I don't think any of the offensive linemen did either. There's another example for you, right? I mean, I think Juice Wells is better than he played this year. He has shown that in the past. Something's amiss there, but Daquan Wright was a good evaluation. Obviously, Trey Harris was a really good evaluation. So was Jordan Watkins. They've been in the program multiple years, pre-scorn too. But so many more misses on offense than defense. So many more issues on offense than defense. Defensively, you give them an A+. Walter Nolan lived up to the hype and made himself more money on Saturday. He was special. But he's been special all season, and he's been playing hurt. He is not healthy, and he's been playing through it, and he is a beast. It's worse than what Alabama or any other program is going through. They put all the chips in to go 9-3 or maybe even 8-4. The donors need to give Kiffin one more chance to build a young team. I do think that people have overinflated to some degree how much this roster is worth. They don't have the richest roster in college football. How many guys opt out of the Egg Bowl with an injury? I'm very curious to see the injury reports. I don't know. I mean, you would hope that they can keep them engaged for another week. And if they can't, that's a real problem. But we'll see. Promote Golding to head coach and bring in an offensive coordinator who can run the offense. I don't think that's happening right now. Need Lane Kiffin to hurry up to move along so they can promote Pete before they lose both Kiffin and Pete. Kiffin is temporary. I don't know if that's the answer either. Can't wrap your head around that the offense is why they failed 2 years in a row now. I do expect, I'm with you. I would be shocked if there's Egg Bowl like opt-outs. I don't think that's a thing. Bowl game, maybe a different story. Maybe a big-time different story. But if he couldn't do it with this roster, I don't have the confidence he can do it at all. Yeah. Isn't it crazy how Ole Miss still isn't 100% out? I mean, there's still a path, and it's not like an insurmountable one, but I don't think it'll happen. Good news is I won't have to break the bank on postseason playoff stuff. If Austin Simmons was in, do you think they would have won? No. I mean, there's no way to know for sure. I mean, Dart was really good until the end. I mean, if the receivers just catch the ball, they win comfortably. I don't think yesterday was a Dart thing, again, until the very end, right? I mean, he completely crapped the bed at the end of the game. But, I mean, he put the ball on the money to guys that didn't catch the ball all day long. I mean, Watkins had a drop touchdown. Wells had a drop touchdown. Didn't Daquan Wright drop a touchdown as well? A couple of drops on what would have been like positive first down plays. Harris, I know he got hurt on the play, but he had a drop essentially. And I mean, it spiraled out of control. Are we expecting a possible change at OC after the season? You have no idea. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I know that Weiss is on the short list at FAU, but something's got to give. They didn't perform well enough. If Judkins was here, they'd probably be undefeated. Well, who knows? Maybe Kevin Smith and Kiffin and everybody would have played a walk-on over him too. Now you're not expecting any chaos. You expect Tennessee to beat Vandy and Texas to win and Georgia. The SEC won't get any more than three teams in the college football playoff, Texas, Tennessee, and Georgia. I'm not so sure that it's only going to be three, but I think that that's like the betting favorite at the moment. But, I mean, the ACC should be a one-bid league. It may not be. The Big 12 is definitely a one-bid league now. Notre Dame loses to USC, which is possible. Bentley Wodan is one of the most what-if players in recent Ole Miss history, only because they wouldn't play him. No kidding. Flane doesn't quit the childish trolling, then you don't want him. I want a coach dedicated and willing to help the program. Well, I have bad news for you. He's not going to stop. Narrative they used to have on Kiffin was that he would win the games he was supposed to win and lose the big ones, but this season it was quite the opposite. Literally opposite. Yep. No, it starts with Lane, but is Charlie out? But say Charlie's out as OC, any ideas where they would go after or who they would go after? I have no idea. I don't know. I really don't know. Cliff Kingsbury? I don't know. Why do they not play Bentley? There's no real answer. Kiffin gave an answer today that he's not consistent enough, that he's a great kid and he's doing everything right. He's just not consistent enough, which is just nonsense. Mississippi State looks dead out there. Missouri had their way in Starkville. Got to think if Ole Miss puts forth any effort, they win pretty decently. 26.5 is quite large. Yes, if Ole Miss shows up and plays, they will win and win comfortably. It's all dependent on if they show up and play, if they're focused, if they can lock back in. If they can, then they will win comfortably. Mississippi State is a bad football team. And they started that Missouri game well. Like, they played as well as they have maybe all season at the beginning of that game. They're bad. They're the worst defense in the SEC and possibly the worst in all of college football. It's awful. Van Buren's got some talent. They have some receivers. The scheme offensively looks right. It looks good. They're running the ball a little bit better, but yeah. Maybe Lane can get Frazier, Mazin, and Caden Davis some carries on Friday. What the hell? Why not at this point? Seriously, just put Santarian Perkins back there too. Anything at all to avoid playing Ulysses Bentley. Or Rashad Amos. And I don't know if it's true or not. There's a rumor about, you know, he suddenly was downgraded to out of nowhere. The reason for that. They still need to win the game and look some kind of decent doing it. You're not going to hear anyone saying it doesn't matter or they don't care. No, you need to go win the game. You absolutely need to win that game and win it comfortably for multiple reasons. One, you have your in-state rival up against the ropes. I mean, they've had a really bad season. Recruiting is not shaping up. They have a really nice quarterback in their recruiting class, a really good quarterback in their class. But, I mean, they're, like, going JUCO heavy in recruiting. I mean, there's a chance that Hutzler's back as DC. Like, it's not looking good at the moment. You have them on the ropes, deliver a knockout blow, beat them by 50. And also to inspire some confidence back in your fan base to give money so you can pay for another roster. It's twofold. You're looking into a crystal ball. It says Ole Miss misses the playoffs. Do they make changes at personnel and coaching staff? They need to. They have to. Have to. And I suspect that they will. What do I think the ranking will be for Ole Miss on Tuesday? You're thinking around 13 or 14. Yeah, 14 probably. They're not making the playoff, but I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up 12th. Last team out. Yeah. Dominic Thomas is a very good running back. Why didn't Kiffin use him more? I wouldn't go as far to say very good, but I mean, certainly was effective when he was given the opportunity. But I guess a converted wide receiver is more consistent than he is. So add Logan Diggs to the list of wasted money. No, everybody knew the deal with him. He tore his ACL in a bowl game. Any snap that they get from him this season at all. I mean, I don't know. I mean, people were talking about, like, oh, he's going to come back at the start of SEC play. That was never going to happen. I don't know where that was not going to happen. And we talked about it here and on the radio show. That wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to play this year, or at least any significant snaps until maybe the very end. I mean, he had a bad knee injury at the end of last season. And, you know, some recovery timelines are different for some guys, but having him in the hopper for next year is a good thing. No, you're not missing something apparent with Bentley. There is nothing apparent. Caden Davis is just one example of many kickers now who can't hit routine chip shots, but somehow bank in the 50 plus yarders. It reminds you of how newer pitchers are throwing harder and harder. Seriously. And that's why, like, the fourth down decisions of just take the points, just take the points. They're obviously not automatic and not guaranteed. It's not the fourth down decisions that are the problem. It's the what they chose to do in them. Until Lane starts acting more professionally, think we are at his ceiling. I wish he would conduct a press conference like Coach Beard. You know, he could take some pages out of Chris Beard's playbook in order to help raise some NIL money, but don't expect that. Lane is the only thing holding Ole Miss together. That school would be poverty without him. Yeah, no. No. Mm-mm. No. Hugh Freeze took Ole Miss to two access bowls. Hugh Freeze did. He did get, hey, he got his first win, though. Ooh, he got his first big win last night. But Hugh Freeze took Ole Miss to two access bowls. Houston Nutt took Ole Miss to, they weren't called access bowls at the time, but they went to two of them. Houston Nutt went to two access bowls at Ole Miss. No, you're just, you know, trying to troll in a chat and you're failing. Dart is a gunslinger and has been. It finally caught up with Kiffin when the wide receiver room isn't four or five players deep with NFL caliber talent. But gunslinger, though, that implies that he's reckless with the football. He's been very good at protecting the football up until when he hasn't been. But I don't know if gunslinger is the right word with him. While we're on JJ to the edge instead of up the middle. The second one was blocked to run him right up the middle. I think he just made a mistake. It will be spun. The portal strategy doesn't work, but the blame for this season was coaching, not the roster. Absolutely. Anybody that says that is wrong, and especially because their defense was dominant through portal players. The entire defensive line, absent Santarian Perkins, so four of the five transfer players, both linebackers, transfer players, best corner, transfer player, et cetera, et cetera. Some of that, quote, we prepared for a year for the Georgia game isn't aging so well with how they performed in the other ones. No kidding. Kiffin should have been more focused on Florida than watching game day. Yeah, figured that was going to come up at some point. Brandon said it to best today in a tweet. Just not fans now, we're investors. Lane needs to quit the BS coach speak and actually answer questions. If not, good luck with funding next season. It's a great way to put it. You're not just fans anymore. Every single one of you that has donated to the Grove Collective is an investor, and your money was used to pay for running backs that were not used and walk-ons were played and converted wide receivers who joined the team into training camp were used instead of the players that you paid for. Kirby wins it all with this roster. I mean, I would love to sit here and tell you you're crazy, but are you? Dominic Thomas was good in pass pro and averaging 6.5 per carry, but he wasn't getting touches. No, because a wide receiver has to get those. Kiffin used to win the games you expect and lose the big ones. This season was not the case yet. On a different note, this has been overall the most entertaining season of your lifetime. Ole Miss just happened to fall victim in that. It's been unbelievable. The people that argued against playoff expansion were always, they were always misguided, right? Because we talked about it 2 years ago, for those of you that are OGs or listen to the radio show. We've talked about it for years, how much better it will be. And the people that were talking about devaluing the regular season was always so stupid. It made no sense. The regular season has been enhanced many times over. It's incredible. The drama that we had yesterday was amazing, and it was exclusively because of the 12-team playoff. Otherwise, it would have been, oh, interesting. Okay, cool. Last night it was, wait, what happened? Hold on. Arizona State's game meant something yesterday. That's amazing. We need that. The talent is there. It absolutely is there. Kiffin is absolutely a very good football coach. He needs to get over his ego. Trying to be the college version of Ben Johnson, except for Johnson's tricks are exceptional. Hey, who dat, Ben Johnson? You hope Ole Miss baseball is good and basketball improves. Yeah, I've got concerns about the basketball team, but also I'm not totally like they suck and they're going to underachieve the way some people are. Very interested to hear Bentley's comments after the draft when he doesn't have a connection to Ole Miss. I am too. Imagine telling someone in the preseason they'd have the fifth wide receiver playing running back in the swamp with the season on the line with only one injury. Yeah. Have been different since Jeff Lebby. Not wrong. Won 11 games just a year ago and 10 in 2021. It's not impossible to win a lot of games at Ole Miss if you know what the hell you're doing. It is not impossible at all. Not at all. He's got everything he needs to sustain success. Absolutely he does. Would I be surprised if Dart opts out of the bowl game and Austin Simmons starts? What's he opting out for? It's not a first-round draft grade. I mean, I guess, you know, it's the cool thing to do or whatever. But no, I mean, what's he opted? What pro career are you protecting? But I have a different opinion than some other people on bowl opt-outs. I think that I've got kind of like a football guy opinion to that. I know that everybody thinks bowl games are meaningless, and largely they are. But it's your team. You've spent an entire season with them. You've got one more game left. You play in that game. It's different for a guy like Walter Nolan, who's hurt and has first round money coming his way if he tests well. Man, if you're a fringe draft pick at all, play in the bowl game. What are you doing? I view it as quitting on your team with some justifiable exceptions. You have to recruit high school kids too. They are. I mean, they signed a top 20 class last year. They're poised to do it again. They underestimated Gator Nation after beating the best team in the country. The egos. I don't think it was an underestimation. I think they just played like crap. See, it'd be different if that was a unique performance. That wasn't. That looked the exact same as the game in Baton Rouge and in Kentucky. And you can't tell me they overlooked LSU too. It's that what they did today is a consistent issue. And it's that they are inconsistent, or yesterday. How would Indiana fare against an SEC schedule? 3 or 4 losses. They're good, but not that good. FEU wants Weiss bad. We'll see. Joe John Finley for OC. Didn't he coach tight ends? I would like them to hire an offensive coordinator that's not doing it for the first time after one got fired midseason. It's a great point, Matt. It's a great point. Not consistent, so Bentley's not consistent, but neither was Juice Wells, and he played, was never replaced. It's a good point. Hot take, Kiffin's tree circle is similar to Freeze's. Instead of being small like Freeze, it's bigger, but only the same people. I disagree, actually. I think it's quite substantial. His staff hires have been kind of like pulling all over the place. Perkins was a good running back in high school. Yeah, line him up. Line him up. Certainly he's more consistent than Bentley too. Line him up. You think the game shows in the SEC any road game is dangerous? It is. And the problem is they went into it with no margin for error because they stepped all over their own 2 feet at home against Kentucky. Shout out to all the Tennessee fans in Neyland. They really know how to do the Gator Chomp. Yeah, no kidding. Does Ole Miss develop the quarterback they have already or take a guy in the portal? I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get one in the portal, but I would be more surprised if it's not assumed that Austin Simmons is the starter. Do I think we see a running back coach change? I think that it's a necessity. With Dart losing his helmet, did some little concussion in his last interceptions or questionable decisions? I don't know, but he needs to tighten the hell out of his helmet. Let's see what Lane does after the Egg Bowl. He knows he will never be as popular as he was Friday night. Yeah. Jackson Dart's one of the leaders of Ole Miss football in the modern era, a true program guy through and through. He's not perfect, but put a ton into his career. Don't think he opts out right now. I would be surprised. So Ole Miss projected to go to the Las Vegas Bowl against Washington. Thoughts? Oh, God. Hopefully they fly in the day of. You want to see Eli's record protected? Let Austin Simmons get reps in the Egg Bowl? Well, Blake Toppenmeier said the four-team playoff would have been figured out sooner. Like, bro, do you not want chaos? I mean, it's good for your business. What does he mean figured out sooner? Who gives a crap if it's figured out sooner? Oh, yeah, I would love. Oh, that sounds great. Let's take the last weekend of the year and make it completely meaningless. That sounds awesome. Yeah, very cool. It's crazy, man. There are so many people that cover college football that I swear don't like it. Seriously. They just or don't understand it at all. There is absolutely no way that you could still argue today that the BCS would be better than what we've got this season. There's no way that you can argue that. No, it's inarguable. This season has been the most interesting college football season in my lifetime because the volume of games that matter have been exceptional. The stakes are higher than they've ever been. Arizona State beating BYU was unbelievable. Their premature field storming to get the teams off the field and the fans off the field to throw a Hail Mary that's caught but just a yard short. The drama in that game would have been a footnote in every other year besides this one. Instead, that game was, we have a shot at the national championship because of this result, as opposed to, whatever. More people have reason to go to games because they matter more. More people are watching more games and more teams because they matter more. It's just nuts that anybody can argue against it. We'll go rapid fire here. We're approaching an hour, so I got to run. The offensive coordinator, the offensive line coach, the running backs coach, and the receivers should all be questioned at least, if not terminated. Is Dart's legacy ruined now? No, it's not ruined. It's just not going to hit the ceiling that it would have. So let's get this right. Lost is 17.5, 3.5, and 13.5 point favorite this season. Yep, and all they had to do was win one of those three games. How's Alabama still so high with losing by 21 points? Well, because everybody else lost. Literally everybody else lost. But we'll see Tuesday. Any chance Kiffin gets Simmons to stay away from Swayze? I think that he should demand it. Truckload of NIL money, waste of money. Not all of them. Walter Nolan was worth every penny. Princely was worth it. Chris Paul was worth it. Whatever Daquan Wright's getting paid, he was worth it. Dottery's worth it. Ivy's worth it. I mean, a lot of guys that were worth it. The committee has their work cut out. Yeah, they're going to use that mathematical formula that Dave Bartu keeps putting out there. That's what they're going to use. Watch. Is Jackson Dart first round? Absolutely not. Nowhere close. Any chance Ole Miss makes the playoff? A very slim one. I mean, like, they need Vanderbilt to beat Tennessee. Oh, gosh. I mean, Notre Dame to lose. But even then, Notre Dame is probably still in front of them. What is it? Vanderbilt to beat Tennessee. I mean, maybe Clemson to beat South Carolina or no. South Carolina beating Clemson would keep the ACC to one bid league. You should still be ahead of South Carolina, but there's a path. There is. Texas has got to beat A&M. Whoever SMU plays this weekend, you got to hope for them to beat them. You know, stuff like that. This week is so weird. Feels like I go through the motions and just win. Then afterwards, we will get the real next step as to what's really next. No kidding. What is Dart's legacy? Really, really, really good quarterback that played hard. That's what it is. Is he the all-time great? No. Is he one of them? No. Eli's one. Eli and Archie, the Mannings, are maybe they're even just free spaces, and you just move them aside because it's not worth discussing. He's in that group with Corral and those guys. That's his legacy. He's just a really good player. Just really good at Ole Miss. Worth it? Not even in the playoffs. What was it for then? So Princely could play in a system of his choice and not be a team player? How? I would like for you to provide a specific example for how Princely Umanmielen was not a team player. Help me out with that. Defensively, they were awesome. You have to separate the team's total failure with what individual players were worth, what they were paid. The team failed. Princely Umanmielen was worth what he got paid. Walter Nolan was worth what he got paid, et cetera, et cetera. Those guys proved their value. Those guys played well enough to be undefeated. Football is not just a defensive tackle or defensive ends game. There's more to it than that. You can argue that the transfer offensive linemen either were not coached well enough or they weren't worth what they were paid. You can argue that the running back room was mismanaged and they wasted your money there. But you cannot tell me that Trey Amos and Dottery and Paul and the entire defensive line, et cetera, were not worth what they were paid. Because they are. Hate that Pavia's case was denied. I do too. Love the stream as always. Doing a great job growing your brand. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing some like random off-topic stuff now that the football season's almost over. Just like big picture things or whatever. Just kind of put my thoughts on here because why not? For the worst for Bentley, I do too. Maybe WAOM isn't something that can truly be killed, repressed some, but always there. Yeah. Christian, that's the thing, though. That's what makes this season so fascinating. It's because you say the only consistent thing with Ole Miss is they crap their pants when the lights are bright every time, prove you wrong. The Georgia game 2 weeks ago. The lights could not have possibly been brighter than that game, and they executed and played well. Could not have been brighter. That game could not have been more important. And they executed and performed great, played well. It's a huge win. At the time, now it's just a footnote, but it's the inability to capitalize when things are good is the problem. They've gotten there. Kiffin just hasn't been able to stay there. What should Ole Miss go for the most in the portal? Offensive line. they'll need wide receivers. Maybe a running back, but they won't play him. So anyway. All right, guys. We went way long tonight, but that's okay. I appreciate you. You guys are the absolute best as always. Don't forget to like the video, all that good stuff. We will be live on Tuesday. Obviously not live on Thursday, and we'll do post-game stuff. We're doing a special edition of the radio show, so we can't obviously do 3-6 on Friday because of the game, obviously. But we'll do 9 to 12:30 on Good Friday. So see y'all there. Anyway, see you Tuesday night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.